Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Try Alive here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am joined by my co-host. Her name is Casey Randall. She is calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. Casey, how's it going?
It's going good, Robert. How are you?
I am doing well. Christmas is coming upon us in just about a week. How are the holiday plans at your house?
Oh, they're going great. You know, this weekend we made some Christmas cookies, and we've been making ice lanterns to line the driveway with and doing some kick sledding. It's just a great time of year. How about you?
It is an absolutely great time of year. We took out all of the dogs, well, at least all of the ones that are able to be on teams yesterday, and we spent about 6 to 8 hours or so out on the sleds, and it was a great weekend here.
Actually, I saw some pictures of your dogs out. They were looking good. Everyone looked like they were having fun.
Everybody's having fun. It was good to see my daughter. She came out. It's been on the first time on the runners in over a year since she moved out and got her own little place. So it's good to have the family back in town and everything being good.
That's awesome. Well, hey, I know I mentioned some ice lanterns, and I just wanted to say that I'm going to put a post on the Be Alive on the Facebook page. You can go to Be Alive. You can put in Go Be Alive on Facebook and you'll find it. I'm actually going to put some directions on how to make ice lanterns, which is something that a lot of people in colder climates do. So if anyone wants, they're pretty easy and they can just follow the directions and make their own.
You know, I saw those on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. One of my neighbors made them using 5-gallon buckets and she lined her porch with them. I thought it was such a cool idea to do that, and I think it can really be a festive thing to do on the holidays or anytime as long as it's cold enough, right?
Right, for sure, and it's fun. It's fun to do them yourself. It's fun to get your family involved. Kids love doing them, and they're pretty easy, and, you know, even if they crack when you're pouring out the water, you can just kind of put them back together usually, and they'll just freeze right up. So definitely check it out. Like I said, I'll post some directions, but they're real simple.
Excellent. So today we're going to talk about a purely Alaska event. It happens on the 4th of July weekend, I guess it is. I guess it happens on the 4th of July, whether it's a weekend or not. Is that right? Mount Marathon?
Yep, it's on the 4th of July, no matter what day of the week it is.
So I know you've done this race many times, and I hear you're pretty good at it. Tell us what it is and how in the world you can train yourself to do something crazy like that.
Well, thank you for thinking I'm good at it, Robert. I'm just one of those mortal runners, you know, that enjoys doing it. I'm definitely middle of the pack, back of the pack, but there are some outstanding, amazing people who do this race. It is in Seward every year on the 4th of July, and I want you to ask me lots of questions because I have lots of info, but you just keep asking me questions. But I'll start with saying that it started I guess the first organized race was back in 1915, and
wow.
It started kind of like a lot of good Alaskan stories, but it started with a bar bet with two sourdoughs that were sitting at the bar and looked up at the mountains. There's a bunch of mountains in Seward, but one that kind of looms over the city there, and one of them bet the other one that, hey, can you get up and down that in an hour? And the loser had to buy drinks for the other one.
Very cool. So before we get too far, you got to tell us some Alaska lingo for folks listening outside. What is a sourdough?
Well, I think a sourdough is just someone who's been here for quite a long time. And, you know, sourdough starter makes the sourdough bread. And people would take that with them, you know, all over, especially back in the mining days and gold rush. So a sourdough is someone who's been here a long time.
So, you know, Casey, I don't know a lot about this event other than what I see on TV and social media every summer, so I am really intrigued about it myself. From my understanding, you start on flat ground, very similar to like you would start any other road race, like a weekend 5K or whatever, but very shortly after, you start running straight up the side of a mountain. Is that right?
Yes, that is true. And it's called Mount Marathon, but it's not a marathon at all. It is about a 3.1 distance, but most of that is going up a mountain. It's 3,022 feet, and you start just a little bit above sea level right downtown Seward, and the gun goes off, and They have three different races. They have a junior race, which is boys and girls starting at the young age of 7 years old. You can actually race this mountain halfway up, and the boys and girls go against each other. And then they have the women's and the men, which starts at 18 and up. And then there's about a half mile that you run up a road. It's all uphill. You go up, the streets are lined by spectators. Everyone's cheering you on. And we'll get into more detail of this, but just the quick version is, you know, you go up the road, then about a half mile later, you hit the base of the mountain and you have to climb this mountain for just under a mile up. And then you get to the top and you run down for another mile and you got to finish the road, of course. So that's the very quick version. It's not easy.
Right, right. So something I do not know anything about is the sign-ups. Is there some type of lottery, or do you have to qualify to get into this race? How difficult is it for just the average novice to sign up for something like this?
Well, they are making it a lot easier for more people to participate now. They do have a lottery. I just checked their website because for years, January 1st is when you could sign up, and then it had a number of months until it closed, and then they would go through and pick the lottery participants. But now they changed it, so now the sign-up this year for the first time is going to be on March 1st, and you have a month to sign up. But anybody, you, myself, anyone can go in and sign up for the lottery. And now it's a weighted lottery. So for years, people wouldn't get in because the spots are very coveted. So if you did the mountain and you finished, you got to keep your spot. But that didn't leave room for many people to, new people to get in. So now they have some rules where you have to finish in a certain amount of time and or you lose your spot. And then other people who put in through the lottery can get in.
Right.
So are you
right.
thinking of put? Are you thinking of doing this race, Robert?
Well, you know, I don't know. I've done a lot of hiking in my days. I lived in Colorado for a long time and did a whole bunch of the 14ers down there, but I've never raced them. So I don't know. It sounds really intriguing to me. Obviously, I would be way in the back of the pack, but it sounds real fun.
You need to come down and watch. Have you ever been down to Seward to see the race?
I haven't. I've just seen it on the news caps and all that, and
oh,
it
right.
looks real fun to be involved.
Right. Now, Seward is a town of about 3,000 people, and when on race day, it swells to about 10,000 people. So it's a very big Alaskan race, a big, you know, attraction for people in state and out of state. And like I said, you can sign up now starting in March, and then people, though, who have done, I mean, some people have done this race. There is one guy who has done this race for 47 years, consecutive years. His name is Fred Moore, but there's a lot of people who have done it for 20 years, 30 years, and it becomes a big part of many families, you know, where their mom and dad are doing it, and then they have kids, and then the kids are doing it. So people get pretty crazy about this race.
So how fast is the fastest guys and gals going, and where do you fit involved with that? And tell us about the terrain itself. How difficult is it? You know, you see pictures online of people. Obviously, at that time of year, it's very wet here in Alaska, and typically it looks to be very slippery going up and down those slopes. Tell us about your finishes and where, you know, where you place, and also about the trail itself.
Well, I'll give you my best finish is an hour and 40 minutes, which is not fast at all. I'm not a fast downhiller because the race goes up and down. So, you know, sometimes the person who makes it to the top of the mountain first doesn't finish first because people have their different specialties. But the fastest I've ever made it to the top of that mountain is 1 hour. And then coming down, I was pretty darn slow. But I'm not sure what my actual places are. But it's been fun. I've done it 8 times, and I've watched in awe of these people who get to the top of this 3,022-foot mountain. And I was looking up some times from the men last year, and there are guys run down that mountain in just over 10 minutes, which is amazing. It is amazing. And, you know, last year, well, let's go back 3 years ago, we've had a couple records broken where the men's record was held for 30-some years, and then Eric Strable, who is Alaskan, he came and he broke the record, which was super exciting. And then this record that stood for 30 years, the next year we had some world-class professional mountain runners come, a man and woman, and they both won, and they both shattered the records. And of course,
man.
It was really exciting. But if you're an Alaskan, you love to have these, you know, records be held by Alaskans, right? And so we thought, wow, is that going to happen again for a long time? And then this past year, David Norris, who is a skier here in Alaska, he just came through big time. And he not only won the race last year, but he set a new record. So it's back in Alaskans' hands.
Do you know that record time, Casey?
Yes, I have it right here. He did it, let's see, 41:26. So that's 41
wow.
minutes and 26 seconds. And he made it to the top of that mountain in 30 minutes. So that's when you get to the top. So I guess we should talk about what you actually do, because the trail, you know, the whole race is amazing. But you start on the road and you start running up. And it's, like I said, it's about a half a mile. And then when you get to the base of the mountain, you have to make some decisions, because there's different ways to go up the mountain. And you can, number one, you can take a trail called the Roots Trail. And what that is it's basically just a sheer cliff. I mean, it's pretty much straight up and down. And you can climb hand over hand. You're clinging to the tree roots that are on this cliff. And every time when I've taken that trail, I'm thinking in my head, why am I doing this? I would never just go do this on a normal day. But I guess, you know, you're doing it in the race and everybody's going up with you. So that's one way to start your trip up the mountain. Another way is to go up. There's the base of the mountain. There's more cliffs that you go up. There aren't any tree roots to hang on to, but you just kind of climb up the rock. And then there's a third way, which is the switchback trail that they put in for the juniors to make it a little safer. And that kind of, you can switch back up and to get up into the trees, which is the second part of the race. Any questions, Eddie? You want me to keep going?
No, keep going for sure.
Okay. So then when you get up into these trees, you know, you think Alaska, you think cold, but it doesn't matter. It could be the coldest day in the summer, and it could be raining, and you're still sweating like crazy because the trees just create this sauna effect. I mean, you're just in there, and you're dripping sweat. So you climb up these trees, the trail gets muddy. It's muddy from everyone else going. So you're slipping and sliding, and you're literally never standing up in this race. You're always kind of bent over and using your hands, and you're wearing gloves and gaiters on your, you know, over your shoes, so you don't get all the rocks and stuff in your running shoes. But after you go through this just strenuous climb through the trees, you come out at halfway, and that's where the juniors turn around at the halfway point, but the adults keep going, and the rest of the race is just on an open face side of the rock of the mountain, and you climb that up until you get to the top, where you all of a sudden have to stand up and you have to run a circle around this rock at the top before you make your descent.
So is it truly the top of the mountain, or is there still quite a ways to go to the peak?
You know, I think if you were just to hike it as a day hike, you can keep hiking farther back into Mount Marathon, but it's actually, I mean, it is the top. It's the peak of, it really flattens off, and you've hit the peak of the mountain. So,
right.
And you can see everything. I mean, Seward is beautiful from up there. You see the boat harbor, you see way off into Resurrection Bay. Just even if you never do the race, there is an actual much, much easier hiker trail that is definitely recommended for people who just want to climb Mount Marathon, because the trail is dangerous and you do need to know what you're doing and you need to be careful, and people have gotten hurt, people have died up there. So you want to make sure that you climb it safely, and if you are going to do this race, you need to practice.
Right. So I guess a question I have is, if you start up one route, can you take the other route down? You talked about that first route where it's mainly, you know, kind of hand over fist on the trees. Can you go down that way if you go up, say, the switchback route, or is that frowned upon?
Well, there's pretty much, when you get to the top of the mountain, there's really just one trail down. There's kind of, you can take another little offshoot and you still end up on the same down trail. But what it is going down is it's just a bunch of loose scree, especially at the top. And the more people who run on it that day, the softer it gets. So people will say after hundreds of runners have gone on it, you know, the people who run later in the day get a softer descent. But you're just running and going down, and then you go on the mountain through the scree, and then you'll hit waterfalls. So you're actually running through some little waterfalls. You're climbing down the cliffs. And then when you get to, you're almost to the bottom, and then there's a couple different ways down. You can go straight down, and that is straight down. And there's actually an ambulance and a stretcher. And, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, they want to have that stuff there just in case somebody gets hurt, which people have, so they can help them out. You actually pass the hospital on your run down. And so, you know, I don't know if that's comforting or scary. But then you can take that switchback trail down. Now, the switchback trail, which I've taken many times down just because, I don't know, it seems like it's safer. But you know what? It gets really slippery and muddy, and it's eroded over the years. So I don't really know what the safest route is down. I think it's the one that you're the best at, you know. So there's about two or three different ways down. I don't know anyone who takes the root trail down, the one that I said that you're hand over hand on the cliff. I don't think that's really a good way to go down.
So how does this compare to other races that you do? How does it compare to, you know, to the weekend 5K that, you know, that you see all over the place? And how does it compare to, like, the half Ironman?
Oh, my gosh. I just think it's tough. I mean, I've done half Ironmans that, you know, okay, you're just running and it's mentally, you got to just keep going and going. And those are not easy by any means. But a race like this, that mountain, it just, the mountain always wins. That's what people say. I mean, people win the race, you conquer, that you finish that day. But in the end, I think everybody has this great respect for the mountain and knows that the mountain always wins. And, you know, different weather conditions. But it's tough. You're going. The good part is the crowd is there to cheer you on. And you see people do it. You see them go up. Everyone's smiling. You see people come down, and they're wet and they're dirty and they're bleeding. And, you know, I don't know why there's such a lure to do that. I don't think anybody wants to get hurt. But I think it's just nobody can take that away, that you just did that mountain. And now they give they always have T-shirts and patches, but now they have a sticker. You go around town, you'll see people have their sticker on their car, and there's just a great respect for people who do it.
Right. So a couple of more questions on the Mount Marathon race. As we talked about at the top, it's a race that's purely an Alaskan event. It happens on July 4th every weekend, every year in Seward, Alaska. It's right there on the coast, a very popular destination for cruise ships up here. So a couple of more questions, Casey. First off, how many people run this every year? Is it several hundred? Is it 100? Is it more than that? How many people are getting involved with this each time? Do you know?
Yeah, well, it's grown in popularity since it first started. It's actually, I don't know if I mentioned, the second oldest foot race in America. But now I think the field is limited to either 350 or 40 per each group. They've, like I said, they've made some changes over the years. But between 350 to 400 people are running within the junior, then the women, and then the men. And they do have coverage now on television. I know the local stations are covering it, streaming it live. And now they have changed the men's and women. It used to be the juniors went, and then the women, and then the men. And then now each year, whether it's even or odd years, they're flip-flopping the men and women. So essentially the main event, the last race, is it used to always belong to the men, and now it's going to be shared. They're going to switch it each year.
My last question is in regards to safety. You talked about that before, how people have been hurt and or even died there. I know a couple of years ago, a very interesting story about a guy that ran the race, and he's never been seen again. They don't know if he fell down a crevasse or what. They have no idea whatever happened to that guy. They never found him, did they?
No. The mystery is still out there. No sign at all of him. That was in 2012.
2012. So you had mentioned safety. I know that you have to, in regards to, and in particular with this guy, they instituted, I guess, some new rules about you have to check in or something at the top. What are some of the safety precautions that they have instilled for you guys?
Right. That, a lot of things changed after that race because, of course, again, this is a fun event. They want everyone to have a great time. And there was a couple other bad injuries that year, too. This wasn't a good year for the race. But everybody has, like, timing chips, you know, so they at there's certain spots along the race that they can tell that you crossed and where you're at. They have people checking, you know, lots of eyes that are writing down bib numbers and radioing that people have gone through. They have trail sweepers, which are people who make sure that they're behind the last person and make sure everybody's off the mountain. And then they also now have made it so that it's a shorter amount of time that they say you have to do it. I mean, they're really trying to get it so that people don't underestimate the race. And I'm not saying that any of those people did, but they're just trying to keep it safer. They also have a safety meeting. They've had this for years that all rookies have to attend. And it really scares you when you go watch the safety meeting. They're going to tell you every bad thing that's happened and, you know, telling you right now, if you're not ready for this, don't do the race. They also now they lead a little practice runs up the mountain and they practice the most technical portions so that some of the more seasoned veteran runners, which is so nice, they're just volunteering their time to run these clinics. And they advertise them, and people can actually go down to Seward and do it with these great runners and get tips. So
have you ever been in a precarious situation? As we mentioned, this guy may have fallen in a crevasse somewhere. Have you come across anything like that where it's just, ooh, this is kind of hairy here?
Oh, my gosh. Well, of course, every time you go up and down that mountain, there's going to be certain spots that just remind you that it's a harsh environment and you need to be always watching and careful. Like I said, the weather can determine a lot of that. If it's raining, it can get very, very slippery on the rocks. One year I was coming down the mountain and there's a big snow chute on some years. Some years there isn't any snow up there, but when there is a big snow chute, people often slide down the mountain. And I mean, we're talking for a long ways, and it can give runners advantage because they get a little bit of, or not a little, a lot of speed sliding on the snow. But the snow can also be very crusty because it's been up there. And I mean, we're talking July, so the sun's been hitting it. And one year I thought, yeah, I'm just going to slide as fast as I can. I'm having a great race. And I took a lot of skin off of my backside, my behind, and ended up on painkillers and many weeks of having that skin regrow. Actually, I have some great scars. So, and I know other people that happens, they call it hamburger butt or something. And you'll probably see pictures of that over the years, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're taking that risk, but if you practice and feel confident and stick to the plan, I think that's the biggest thing, practicing, knowing your route and sticking to that.
You know, when you told the story about the snow shoot, I can only envision some of those guys and gals. They aren't wearing much clothing from what I've seen. Typically they have on running shorts and, like you mentioned, the gaiters and the shoes and almost always gloves. I don't know if that would be too comfortable sliding down that chute half naked.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you, there's some people who, like I said, they come off that mountain and, you know, they look like they've been in a war. I mean, they're bloody, they're dirty. But then there's other people who come down and you look at them like, did you just run that mountain? And you know, they're just, they're so agile and they're just bouncing from rock to rock and they know every little bit of that mountain. So it's a, yeah.
Excellent.
It's crazy.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for sharing your take on the Mount Marathon race. You said you're going to sign up and try to do it again this year. Is that right?
I am. I'm going to sign up and hopefully I'll get back in it. You know, it's just fun. Like I said, there's different people too. There's some, you'll go down there and see a guy used to dress up like Elvis and run up the mountain. A man used to wear a metal armor, you know, like the knights with their armored hat. He wears that up and down that whole mountain. There's I have a friend who he's known as the Birdman, and he dresses up every year and poses for the crowd on this rock at the end. And, you know, so people get real into it. I do definitely wear spandex shorts underneath my other shorts now. I don't want to go through losing all that skin again. That wasn't any fun.
That's a good tip for sure. So, Casey, we only have about 4 minutes left. You wanted to talk a little bit about my training as we're working our way towards the Ironman. I have about 4 months before I head over to Hawaii to do that. You know, with the new snow, I'm outside a heck of a lot more than I was last week. I've done quite a few runs on my fat bike and on the sleds now, so definitely getting in better cardio shape. But since school has ended last week, I have not had a chance to get back in the pool, so I have to work that back into my routine now that we're out of school for about a month over at UAA. And running, I'm not real sure yet. I haven't done any running on any trails yet since I've been out of school, and again, it's only been a week. How do you take up snow running? What do you do, you know, when we have conditions like we have now?
Right. Well, and I know I've mentioned before that I do like to run on my treadmill. It's not as exciting as outside, but I, you know, I can be warmer and I can adjust my speed. But when I do run outside, I make sure that I have in my shoes, we actually put screws. We take metal screws and screw them into our shoes so that you're not going to slip and fall on the ice. And that's important,
right?
Because you got to get that good gription out there when you're on the trails.
Right. And do you run typically on trails in on the winter when you're outside? Do you run on trails or on the road?
Both, but enjoy trails. You know, even I know you know where Powerline is. There's a lot of people up running there right now. I mean, people are running on the roads, but if you can get off on a packed trail where there's, you know, it's a multi-use trail, so those are good ones because sometimes skiers have been down those or people pulling sleds or things like that, so they're packed a little bit better for running. Of course, there's trails just for skiing, too, and you don't want to run on those. They'll let you know those are their ski trails, but
right.
There's
right.
quite a few of them well, around town.
And I did order a trainer for my bike. It probably is here today. I'm going to go check the post office here after the show, so hopefully I can get my bike set up inside and really put some miles there. But, yeah, I think if I am able to get back in the pool here during the off break, I think training will be right back on track, and looking forward to the winter season. We have a lot of mushing to do, and I always get in much better shape during the mushing season than I am in the off season. But, you know, people always say, you know, how in the world can you keep up? You don't look like somebody that can do things that you do. And I always tell them, Casey, I'm like a pit bull. I can, I've got the stamina like crazy. And I, for some reason, I can just keep going and going because I do not look like a triathlete, do I?
Well, not at first glance, but I know what you're saying because, you know, people, it's all shapes and sizes. And, you know, I watch these mushers and they're running beside their sled and that's what you do.
Right, right. And it takes quite a bit of endurance, quite a bit of strength to handle a 10, 12, 14 dog team. You got to be in a little bit of shape. Of course, I could probably choose to lose 30 pounds or so, but you know what? If my wife likes it, I guess I'm okay. How's that?
Well, and you know what? It's just motivating. It's fun. You know, I know we both have been working and trying to better our bodies and get in better shape. And having used, you know, the triathlon you're training for and having goals, signing up for races can motivate you to you know, lose more pounds and gain more muscle, right?
Right. All right, Casey, we are just about out of time. I have an idea for next week. It will be are you free the next week? I believe it is the day after Christmas.
You know what? Maybe could we do it the next day? We can talk.
Yes, we can do it the next day for sure. But what I would like to talk about is a very important thing that people do at this time of year. They set all these New Year's resolutions, and I would love to talk about that before New Year's, which happens to be after our following show. So maybe we can talk about some New Year's resolutions. What are good? What are bad? What are realistic? I think as somebody that does a lot of training for quite a few different sports, I think there are importance with realistic goals. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah, you want to, you know, everyone gets really excited and makes these big goals, and that's great. But breaking down the steps to actually achieve them and feel really good. And it's always exciting when there's a new year, right? All the possibilities that can be for 2017.
Of course, of course. So we'll talk about New Year's resolutions on the next edition of Try Alive. For folks that are listening, you can check us out over on Facebook. Search for Go Be Alive over there. Casey, have you been posting the shows there, or would you like me to do it?
No, but I would like to post the shows. I need to get the right links there. So let's do that. And also,
we'll
I wanted to let listeners know, because I know we talked about Mount Marathon. Mount Marathon is also open. It's not just Alaskans, so anyone can sign up. But you can go to Seward.com or mmr.seward.com, and you can find out more about the race.
And we'll put a link over on this show page as well. Casey, have a good Christmas with the kiddos and the family, and we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. Merry Christmas to you too, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of my co-host, Casey Randall, this is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Try Alive. Talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.